All right. So the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes are about how our God, our Father, wants us to be in right relationship with Him. So it's about worship. Okay? Beatitudes, it's about simply being happy, being joyful in our worship. Our Father instructs us and corrects us along the way. As His love is unconditional, all merciful, all forgiving, we need His corrections. We need His instructions. Okay, love, and this is what love looks like, okay? Love is, working definition here, is willing the good of the other for the other's benefit, okay? It's God's love for us as He wills the best for us, like a parent and their children, our children, for them. So Scripture also teaches us our story from sin to salvation, from slavery, self-induced, to freedom. So for this evening, let's attempt to set the proper stage to help us to better grasp how we live and worship as Catholics, relating to the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes. So from the Old Testament to the New Testament, our Jewish roots shed light on how and why we are Catholic. Our Jewish roots kind of set the course for us on why we're Catholics and why we are becoming Catholics. And that will be one of our table discussions. Because it is the realization, this is our Jewish roots, of the coming together of all that our elder Jewish brothers and sisters long for. So it's very special that we have a sense of closeness and a sense of gratitude, because a Catholic Church is an outgrowth of Judaism. It's special that we have a sense of closeness in this relationship. So the examples there would be the Liturgy of the Hours, the prayer of the church, praying with Jesus, morning prayer, evening prayer, as we pray the Old Testament Psalms, as we identify with God's chosen people in our worship and how we worship, and why Mass is so important, and the sacraments, the richness of our salvation history. To me, and for you, you can discuss this, but it's like a juicy steak that you just chew on forever, but chew slow. It's so rich, and it's as if we can be kids in a candy store, because once we start diving into it, like me, I realize, especially the older I get, how much I actually don't know. And it's fun to prepare for something like this. It's fun to dive deeper into that soil of our souls to better understand who we are and where we come from. So in one of the books in preparation for this is from Roy Schumann, Salvation is from the Jews is the title of that book. He was a Jew. He's become converted to Catholicism. And he describes the Jews as elder brothers in our faith who have not received the grace to recognize the Messiahship of Jesus. And I think that's a pretty good way of framing this conversation. So in one of our table discussions, I would invite us to visit on what is the role of Judaism in salvation history. Because that's going to help us understand the Ten Commandments and how it relates and how they relate the law to the Beatitudes. Okay, so all of this is in light of Jesus Christ and what Jesus has accomplished for the salvation of the world. All right, so we're going to begin here with the end. I'm going to give you a list of terms, just very basic terminology, okay, working definitions that we'll touch on. Then I'm going to ask you to apply any of these working definitions to your faith life, but also add some. Okay, it's just a list that I've put together as I was working on this. Okay, so, and I would add all these to our discussion points. I'm going to go, don't write it down, I'm going to go over it fast. Scripture, okay? The plot of Scripture is simply salvation history, okay? Bible is God's love story for us for our creation. Covenant, God's forever promise to make us His family. Worship, being in right relationship with God. Typology is what's concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. Everything in the Old is pointing to the New. The New makes the Old true, all in Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's a constant theme throughout Scripture. Who likes the word obedient? Raise your hand. You like to be, someone tell you to be obedient. Nobody? Thank you, Matt. I don't like it either. It's my wife said there's no way you can be a deacon because you're not obedient. But God is patient. Okay, obedience. I never liked that word until I actually learned the root of obedience. Okay, again, simple working definition. Obedience is listening to someone who has something to teach you. Listening to someone that has something to teach us. Okay, faith, attitude of trust in the presence of God. Love, willing the good of the other for the other's benefit. And humility is acknowledging that God is the creator of everything. Okay, and we're talking about the heart of the first commandment, of the heart of the fall. I would say lack of humility. Okay, lack of acknowledging simply that God is the creator of everything. Gratitude is acknowledging in thanksgiving to God that all that we have is a gift. Okay, and grace is our salvation comes through grace. It's that free, unmerited gift. All right, so let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 21 through 20, verse 1 through 21. Let's read that. Just read it to yourself. Share your Bibles. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 21. It's the Ten Commandments. Okay, so let's practice divine reading. Lectio Divina. How does one thing in this scripture touch you, okay, impact you? And I would say the prompt would be in light of the role that Judaism plays in salvation history. Okay, so discuss for 1 or 2 minutes one or two things from this scripture passage, the Ten Commandments, that impacted you and that came to your mind. Discuss that with your tables, please. I teach ninth grade. Okay. All right, my bad. I don't know, what impacted you on the Ten Commandments? Yeah. Okay, very good, thank you. We'll continue this on. We're not going to go over all the commandments, first of all. We're just going to touch on a couple of the two, three. Matt told me don't do that. Okay, so just a kind of an overview of Exodus. In Exodus, we see the first covenant, God's forever promise to make us His family forever. What's the best movie ever made? Yes! No one ever gets that right. Forever. Okay. The ninth grade, I teach ninth grade freshman theology at Mount St. Mary's, and they never get that right. They're like, I've never heard of that movie. I know! Poor... You can't hear me? Sandlot. Do you have to ask the best movie ever made? It's Sandlot. Have you seen it? Okay. Is it the best? There we go. Thank you, Todd. Forever. God's covenant is forever. He never breaks that promise to make us his family. Okay, so we see that with Israel. We see the journey reaches a climax when the people arrive at Mount Sinai. There the Lord seals that covenant with Israel. He gives his people the Ten Commandments and a short collection of civil laws. If the children of Israel will keep God's covenant, they will fulfill their mission to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We also see Israel's observance of that law. It assumes a greater urgency because violating that law, God's law, meant violating the covenant itself and damaging relations with God. Did anybody read in there that God is a jealous God? Yeah. Okay. So someone said typology or type. So we're going to see some examples of this foreshadowing. Some examples of this foreshadowing typology is, okay, Jesus is considered the new Moses. The Gospel of Matthew depicts Jesus as the new Moses. Jesus, the one who accomplishes what Moses came to accomplish. And this will guide us through tonight's discussion. So Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, in Matthew. We're going to read that here in a little bit, which fulfills and perfects the Ten Commandments, the law of God. Okay, so that's the connection with the Beatitudes. Moses, here's some other foreshadowing or typology. Moses fed his people with that miraculous food, that manna in the desert. Jesus feeds the crowd using only a handful of fish and loaves of bread. In the book of Exodus, at the burning bush, God names himself to Moses. Okay, this is really, really important. I am who I am, in Exodus 3:14. In essence, this name of God himself is I am, sets the entire stage for our faith, for tonight, our discussions. So God is saying, I am who I am, because humility. This is where humility fits in. Do we acknowledge that God is the creator of everything? So God is saying, I am who I am, because he's the creator of everything. And we are not in competition with God. To be humble is to know that. So for a minute, just discuss within your tables, are you humble? Are we humble people? That's the question, Matt. All right, go for just 1 minute. Anybody want to go first? Do we practice humility? Are we humble? Day in, day out, what's that?
Not by nature.
Not your nature?
Not by nature.
Oh, not by nature. Okay. Yes, sir. I like that. She's smart. So true, so true. Anybody else? Libby? Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, I'd argue every day, I don't know how many decisions that we make, but we get to filter every decision, if we know it or not, either through the ego drama or the theo drama, and that's Bishop Barron all day long. And we're going to view our life through what I would consider the Catholic Christian worldview, or maybe, well, better put, the Judeo-Catholic Christian worldview, or the non-Catholic Christian worldview. Every decision, I think, is going to be Or I would argue, and we can, you know, let's test it. If there's any doubt, it's going to be either through one of those two lenses and one of those two dramas. Okay, so when we, as did the Jews, forget who God is, things always go bad. Tonight's discussion is ultimately about who God is and who we are, and that we are not Him, nor anyone else or anything else is not our God. The root of our sins and separation from God is when we have other gods. Jesus in the Gospel of John takes us back to His divine name when He proclaims of Himself, "Before Abraham was, I am." So let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Really quick. Read that, please. It is, the Word became flesh. One through five. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Okay, so again, just for 1 minute, discuss amongst yourselves one thing that came out of that scripture that touched you. Okay, in light of our conversation. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right, thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. You know, that word, capital word, is God Himself. It's Christ Himself, the living Word of God. When He says, this takes me back to Genesis, okay? This is, you know, the Old Testament just kind of starts coming off the page a little bit. Is that when you know, Jesus, or when God says, let there be, His Word spoke existence, creation into existence. Just let there be our creation, our heavens and the earth. He spoke our creation into existence, His Word. So when this takes, you know, we're going to leap all the way to the Last Supper. So when Jesus says, this is my body, my blood, it's creative. It's not describing something that it could be, but that it is my body and blood. So, you know, there's all this typology throughout the Old and New Testament that supports that. But the question is this: am I humble? Do I believe that God is the creator of everything? Do I have an attitude of trust in the presence of God in the Eucharist? And I think that starts back with Genesis, and this supports that beautifully. So thank you. So to that point, we must know who Jesus is. So we also read Exodus in light of the people of Israel from the Egyptian slavery. So the first Passover, okay, and the successful flight from Egypt. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God, the Passover, okay, in Exodus. The connection of the Passover meal, connecting to the Last Supper, connecting to the Eucharist. Okay, there's beautiful typology there. As Moses received the law of Mount Sinai, God chose him as the divine appointed mediator of this forever promise to make us his family. So the Ten Commandments are the core elements of the law given by God to Moses. And understanding Exodus and the Ten Commandments will help us to bridge the old law and the new law, the old covenant and the new covenant. We also read in Exodus this disastrous idolatry of the people, and it's getting us to the first commandment. So while they are waiting for Moses, they make a golden calf. Everybody remembers that story. They get drunk, some orgies, false worship, and God doesn't like that, okay? The other gods, worship of idols, that golden bull calf that they were worshiping symbolized are kind of like the root causes of our sins. Hey, let's get back going here. Any questions, comments? All right, so in Exodus chapter 20, we've already read it, the Ten Commandments, maybe one of the most important biblical texts or text in biblical history. They are the formal moral laws by which Israel is to be governed. The first commandment, and the most important commandment, is, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Okay, so if we just go back to Genesis chapter 3, the fall, we see the essence of sin and false worship, turning something less than God to God. Every other sin is a result of this false worship of something other than God, with a capital G. And the failure of Israel throughout all of biblical revelation is the result of disobeying this first commandment. So here's a discussion point. It's Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the great permission and the one prohibition, the one thou shalt not. So God tells Adam and Eve the great permission. You got everything in this garden, and it's perfect. It's all yours. It's the unlimited gift card to your favorite store. Everything is there. What's your favorite store? If you got one place to shop.
Target,
okay. God says it's everything is there is yours. Everything. Unlimited. That's the permission. Except that one little thing. That one little thing kind of in the middle of Target. You can't have that. But everything else is yours. So why is it that we want that one little thing? Discuss that. 2 minutes. Then you're going to go first. Why is it that you, now you may not be a sinner. Okay, I don't want to presume anything here. Raise your hand if you're a sinner. All right, so what's that? Why is it that you want that one thing? But why? Lack of obedience. What's obedience?
The Lord told us that we can have everything except for that.
Don't touch it. Okay, but why?
I was going to say, I think because we think we know goodness is better than God. I was going to say,
No, humble. Okay. Todd. Okay. But why do we not choose him? Pride. Okay.
We want to be our own God.
We want to be our own God. Who are we worshiping then?
Ourselves.
Yeah. Pride. Yeah. So we're right back where the Jews are. We're false gods. Would you agree, Todd? Okay, so, just lost my thought.
Thoughts in your pocket.
What's that?
He said your thoughts in your pocket.
It's in my pocket, okay. All right, we're going to keep going. It'll come to me. So, oh. Yes. Okay, it's us and God on this stage, living this in this divine living stream of grace. But who else is on that stage with us? The devil. And he is that sorry, slippery sack of a serpent that we call Satan. And what's he doing to us all day long? Tempting. You believe that? He's deceiving. He's envy. What's the difference between envy and jealousy? Uh-huh. Exactly. But what else? Take it one step further. He wants what we have, that relationship with God, with each other. But that sorry, slippery sack wants to, and this is the step from jealousy to envy, he wants to hurt us to get what we have. That's how he operates. So I think, you know, this whole temptation thing, this whole sin thing, we can't ever forget that he's on the stage with us constantly. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
That's why the Lord's Prayer says, "Lead us not into temptation, but ask God to deliver us."
Yeah, exactly. It's real. It's real. Anything else? Okay, so. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say that you really wanting to hurt us to hurt God.
Yes. For sure. Yeah, thank you. Did your son, what grade is he in?
He's in eighth grade.
So he came out to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a fine young man. Okay, he knows how to use an axe. What's that? Well, I wasn't going to say that, but nothing like being humble. That's. Okay, so four components of the gospel, how we proclaim the gospel: created, captured, rescued, response. We're talking about captured, and that is what in the hell happened, okay? And that's this sin story. Why is everything obviously so messed up in the world? Okay, that's what we're talking about right now, and that's the first commandment that's addressing that. Okay, so what are the timeless false gods? This is another discussion that God's chosen people worship, which led them to break God's covenant. Why did Israel not obey God? And it's the same for us. Okay, why do we not obey God? We do, but sometimes we don't, okay? So what are those? We can narrow them down to three temptations used by Satan. Talk about that. Come up with three. In your tables. Give you 2 minutes or 1 minute. That's easy. Go. What time are we ending?
8:30.
Okay. That, yeah. Set alarm for 8:25. Okay, what are they? Three? Pride, envy, and lust. Okay. Anybody else?
How about one, lack of trust?
Okay. Yep.
Power.
Greed. The golden calf. The bull calf, okay, golden bull calf, that's kind of a hint, represented this. Kansas State. I love Kansas State. What do you think?
Greed,
okay. All right, so power, sex, and money. And that, they fit all into that ego drama, that pride. Does that make sense? Anyone disagree with that? Power, sex, and money. Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. And we have a lot of great discussions in freshman theology, and we're talking about that one thing that we want that we can't have. And in light of this discussion, and this may, it's actually a great question, but one of the boys raised his hand, and I said, what is it, that one thing that you want that you can't have? What did he say? What's that? Okay, you're right, there's no telling. Every once in a while I get in trouble, okay? But I really ask for their honesty, because we, you know, it's for me, the reason why I'm there is to help them grow up, okay, to become that young men and women that God has called them to be. He said sex. I said, all right, well, let's talk about that, okay? It's a Catholic school. We got a lot to say about that, okay? So anyway, great conversations. There's nothing new here in the eyes of God. And when we talk about ego, I think sometimes, just my opinion, I think sometimes we think we're so special that our sin is unique and that we can't be forgiven. But is there any sin that's not new or that's new to God? You think he's seen it all? Yeah. Okay, confession. Man, let's bring that to confession. Okay, that's why we're here as Catholics. Okay, so that golden calf, oops, that the Jews did represents all three, power, money, and sex. So the trend has started with God's covenant, his forever promise to make his family from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses to David, thankfully fulfilled in Christ through Mary, but that's consistent through all of those covenant relationships. And Israel fell, and this is like salvation history, fell into one crisis after another, starting with sin, slavery, supplication, salvation, and surplus. Sin, slavery, supplication, crying out to the Lord, then salvation, and then finally surplus. God, in his surplus of love and mercy, forgives and reestablishes that covenant with them. And then, by golly, it's a rinse and repeat. It starts all over again. Sin, slavery, supplication, salvation, and then surplus. So another way of looking at it is they start out faithful. They live a fullness of grace of life, and then they get flabby, forgetfulness. Then they fall, followed by forgiveness and freedom. Okay, so there's this kind of like this trend that they established, okay, part of God's salvation history. And we hopefully have something to say about that. Okay, that's the first commandment. Second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Maybe that has something less to do with actually swearing than to attempt to manipulate the holy name of God in order to bring about a desired outcome, closer to superstition and false worship. Okay, third commandment, we'll spend just a little bit of time on this, is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy to worship and rest. Okay, so let's just think here, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the creation story. Think about the 6 days of creation. And they're set up in realms and then rulers of each realm. So just day one would be the realm of day and night. Then day four is on top of day one, and that's the realm. That's the ruler of day and night. And that would be the sun, the moon, the stars. Okay, so that's kind of the six-day creation story, how that there's realms, then on top of each of the three realms, there's rulers. Okay, and then day seven, the Sabbath, is a day of worship. Right worship. Worship is to be in right relationship with God and to rest. The question I have for us is, who are the rulers of our realms in our six-day creation story? Talk about that for 1-2 minutes. Who are the rulers of our realms? Okay, what are the realms that we are living in? And who actually rules those realms? All right, Keith, who are the ruler of your realms? Or in general?
I would say time.
Time?
Time is commitments that others put upon me and that I'm willing to accept, which not necessarily are in that best relationship with me and God.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good. Anybody else? The rulers of our realms? Work? Whew! Oh, oh. Boy, you're going to stir the pot on that one. Huh? Yeah, how about sports in general? Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Big time. Anybody else? The rulers of our realms?
Social media.
Social media. Absolutely. Yeah. Any screen? 100%. Yes, ma'am. Fear. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? I think this third commandment, rest, worship and rest on the Sabbath. The more I think about it, I've worked with young, especially young men for a long 20 plus years. And I think we got this whole creation story completely screwed up. Our 6 days of the week are on the screen. Okay, they're not all of us. Okay, but if we can get our 6 days correct, sports, put that where it's not a god. You know, what's our highest good? Okay, is it sports? As parents, I mean, I'm guilty of this. You know, we traveled volleyball, you know, all over the country, spending time with people we really didn't like, spending money we really didn't have. But for some reason, we felt like, you know, our daughter needed to go to Los Angeles for a volleyball tournament. I asked the coach one time, what's our expectation? She goes, well, we may, like, of 100 teams, we may hit 50. I said, why are we going then? You know, but that was my mistake. Yeah. But so I think if we can get the 6 days right in the work, if we can, especially with the kiddos, if we can get them participating in the household chores, okay, let them be a part of the responsibilities there to order their work to help them become that person that God wants them to be. And we get so focused on the accomplishments. 134 games of baseball this year, you know. Son's 10 years old. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. But, huh? Yeah. Yeah, and if they're good, their arm's thrown out, so they can't play anymore. It's like, who's ruling our realms? And I think that gets into that pride and ego thing. That it's about us, not actually about, you got me going on the sports thing. And I love sports.
What's the lifetime batting average of the best hitter in baseball?
Highest batting average, 333. Uh-oh. You're not a baseball coach, are you? Say one more time. Say that louder.
Every Sunday, the number of attendees that go to Mass exceed the number of the entire spectators in the Major League Baseball season.
Yeah.
That was under 10.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. So that's a good thing, right? Okay, all right. If I heard you correctly. Anything else? So this, it's amazing how impactful the Old Testament can be today. Okay, and as if we could get the 6 days in line with God's plan for us, day seven then will be another day of worship and rest. But if we get our 6 days messed up, technically, day seven is going to be messed up as well. Okay, it just seems like that. Yes, sir. One more time. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, great point. Great point. Okay, we're gonna move fast here through the Beatitudes. Okay, so we're gonna transition to discuss now the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. Okay, so we're gonna start at Jesus' baptism. This will be Matthew 3:17. You're not gonna have to read it. The heavens open up the Spirit. The heavens open. The spirits descend like a dove, and the voice of the Father proclaims, "This is my Son, the Beloved." From there after, Jesus proclaims the new law of the Beatitudes to the people. So we're making that transition from the old law, the Ten Commandments, to the new law, the Beatitudes. From slavery to freedom. Okay, so, and we, it's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 13. We won't read it. And it's it. This helps us understand our Judeo-Catholic Christian roots to know who God is, who we are, and to live happiness, to live joyfully, and especially in today's culture. So Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is perhaps the most famous sermon ever preached. Here, he's up on the mountain. Jesus is symbolically establishing himself as the new Moses. So again, we're going typology here, okay, back and forth. The Old Testament, we see Moses going up the mountain to receive the law and then coming down to teach it. Okay, Jesus, in essence, is doing the same thing. However, Jesus is not receiving the law. He's giving the law. And this is all about authority. Who Jesus is and our obedience to that authority. So when he says, quote, "But I say," reveals that Jesus has authority over the Torah, which for the Jews is held as sacred. This is the, quote, "I am who I am," the incarnation, God becomes man, and now he's teaching us. Just think about that for a second. The incarnation of Christ, our God, becomes man. He's dwelling among us, and he's actually teaching us. That's pretty special. What's very important here is he's not speaking against Moses. He's speaking as the new Moses. The law is not being repealed or done away with, but the law is being intensified. Jesus is raising the law to a new level. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the disciples, they were all observant Jews. So he's declaring that he is not undermining the law and the prophets, but he's actually fulfilling them. Okay, so this is the connection between the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes. So theologian N.T. Wright, Bishop Barron quotes him a lot, N.T. Wright, Anglican theologian, he points out the Old Testament is essentially an unfinished symphony. The Old Testament is an unfinished symphony, a drama without a climax, a hope, a dream, a longing, but without the realization of that hope, without satisfaction of that longing. Then Jesus comes in a most unexpected way to complete the fulfillment of that Old Testament dream. So in Matthew, Jesus begins his primary teaching as a fulfillment of Israel's entire story that we call the Beatitudes, meaning happiness or blessedness. He teaches them with a series of paradoxes, surprises, and reversals in order to set the world right. So in summary, here are some examples. Blessed are the poor in spirit, teaching us not to be addicted to material things and to realize that our deepest desire is God. Blessed are those who mourn, teaching us how lucky we are if we are not addicted to good feelings. Doing the will of God can be painful. Blessed are the meek, teaching us not to be addicted to power, to surrender to God. So he's already addressing power, money, sex, and teaching us that we are blessed when persecuted on his account. How lucky we are when we are not addicted to the approval of others. Our faith now replaces that fear. And why is it that we're so concerned about what others think of us? And I don't think that goes away at 60 or at 15. That's an interesting point that we get to participate in. It's strong. So let's conclude with this discussion point and continue to chew on this when you go home tonight. And we've got a few minutes to talk about it. So we're going to review back at the list of key terminology and discussion points for this evening. And include anything you want to that list. It's just a list that I put together. Or a combination of the things, okay? There's not just like one right answer here. And I want us to discuss, or just chew on it when you go home, which ones or a combination of them help us to be in right relationship to worship, to be in right relationship with our Lord and our Savior. Which one of those, that's the positive, the negatives, which one of this list and others that you add to, it's not exclusive, allow us not to worship or teaches us not to worship false gods and repeat our history? So which one helps us to be in right relationship, okay? And then which one helps us live a blessed, a happy, and a joyful life? Okay, so I'm going to give you the list again, but I always want us to remember, it's, this young man right here talked about, what did you say on sin? What did you say? You said something really good.
I said that we always have access to the light, even in the darkness.
Okay, so even in the darkness, even in the worst day, okay, when we're on the ground and that sorry slippery sack is kicking us in the gut, on that worst day, always remember that grace wins over that sin every single time. Okay, and that's Matthew 5, 12, 21. Okay, so here's the list. Okay, which one of these or combination or something that you want to add will help us to be in right worship, right relationship with God, not to worship false gods, and to live a joyful, happy life, okay? So, we're going to end with this. Okay, Scripture. The plot of Scripture is salvation history. Bible, God's love story for us, for our eternal salvation. Covenant, God's forever promise to make us His family. Worship, being in right relationship with God. Typology is that come back and forth from the Old to the New Testament, okay, that supports each other. What is concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. And today, between the Ten Commandments and Beatitudes, we saw a lot of typology. The hardest one maybe is obedience, okay? Obedience, listening to someone who has something to teach us. Faith, attitude of trust in the presence of God. Love, willing the good of the other for the other's benefit. Humility, acknowledging that God is the creator of everything. Gratitude, acknowledging with thanksgiving that all that we have is a gift. And then grace. Our salvation comes through grace, that free and unmerited gift from God. Okay, we are, I think, through? Yeah, okay. So just take that home with you and chew on it, okay? Thank you very much for having me tonight. God bless you guys.